We are told from our reading today in the Gospel of John that Jesus, after he was betrayed and arrested, was immediately put on trial, even though it was already late at night. In John chapter 18, verse 13, we are told he was led first to Annas, the father-in-law of the high priest Caiaphas. Now, why was that? It's possibly because Annas was formerly a high priest and the family is involved in this matter. Then in John chapter 18, verse 24, we are told that Annas sent him bound to the high priest Caiaphas for a formal hearing. Now, not mentioned in the Gospel of John, but implied, mentioned in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus was then formally tried by the whole Jewish council, the Sanhedrin, in the early hours of the morning before he was brought to Pilate, with the expectation that the sentence that they gave would be passed without any question. These three trials are commonly known as the Jewish phase of the trial of Jesus, in distinction to the Roman trials of Jesus, which we will come to later on. Now, what can we say about these Jewish trials? The consensus from jurisprudence scholars is that these trials were illegal, rash, and unjust. They broke all basic norms of a fair trial, and even the Jewish laws regarding a fair trial. Based on the Mishnah, the Jewish oral tradition, a section on the Sanhedrin, chapter 4, verse 1, if there is a capital offense case, the guilty verdict cannot be passed on the day before Sabbath or a festival day. This is to prevent a rash verdict and execution on the same day. But Jesus was tried in the early hours of Friday, and he was brought before Pilate then and executed on the same day. Secondly, the court must open the deliberation with a view to acquit the accused rather than with a view to convict him. This is the principle of innocence until proven guilty. But Jesus was presumed guilty so that he can be found to be guilty. Thirdly, the trial cannot be started before the offering of the morning sacrifice. This is to prevent secret and private trial. But Jesus' trial was started in the late hours of the night till the early hours of the morning. And we are told that by early morning, the Jewish council has already found Jesus guilty of blasphemy. All it took was 9 hours from arrest to execution, with the charge shifting from his teaching to his intention of destroying the temple and to blasphemy. How unjust, how unfair the trial of Jesus was. Friends, maybe today some of you may feel that life and people and the world is unfair to you. Maybe you feel that God is unfair to you, and that's why you feel the need for control, for authority, for power, for strength. But when we think of the trial of Jesus, he himself went through this great injustice, and he shows us that it is not necessary, that there is one who is in control. There's one who understands what injustice is, and there's one who has been with us and gone through before us. Now, Jesus, having faced the Jewish trials, the Gospel of John goes on to tell us the Roman phase of the trials. In John chapter 18, verse 28, we are told this: "Then they," that is the whole council of high priests, chief priests, and officials, "led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters." This is the Praetorium, possibly Herod's palace as well. And we were told that it was early morning, once again telling us that this is an unusual event. "Then they," that is the whole Jewish council, "they themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover." What an irony. These leaders would take so much care to avoid ritual contamination in order to eat the Passover, that yet at the same time, they were willing to subvert the judicial system to secure the death of the one who alone is the true Passover. It's like wanting godliness and not God, wanting Christmas and not Christ, wanting the Holy Communion and not the cross. Now, they wanted to eat the Passover. What this means is that they wanted to celebrate the Passover festival. The Passover meal was already eaten on Thursday night, but they want to continue on this celebration that goes on for 7 days. Now, as the Jewish leaders waited outside the Praetorium, Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" Now, this response of Pilate could be surprising to the Jewish leaders, because it is very possible that they have prearranged with Pilate regarding the arrest and the condemnation of Jesus. Judas was able to secure a detachment, a band of soldiers to arrest Jesus. So this may explain the irritation and the insolence of the Jews when they answered Pilate, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him to you." What a logic here. He's evil because we say he's evil. Because we say he's evil, he is surely evil, so we arrest him. Therefore, he should be put to death. Now, Pilate, though history has shown him to be a ruthless person, for he has dealt with insurrectionists ruthlessly, mixing their blood with their sacrifice, was no impulsive man. He was no fool, at least in his own eyes. And Pilate said to them, "Take him yourself and judge him by your own law. Why do you get me involved? You have him arrested. You deal with him." But the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This is true. Since AD 6, Rome has taken away the right of capital punishment from the Jews. And yes, there may be some Jewish execution from time to time, for example, the stoning of Stephen, but these were mock violence. Thus, Jesus was spot on when he said that he would die in a non-Jewish manner, even though he was rejected by his own people and be killed. So Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 32 to 33, "And when I'm lifted up from earth, I will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. Jesus would not be stoned to death. Instead, he would be hung on a tree. This is the most cursed death that is mentioned in the law. Incidentally, we note that Judas was also hung on a tree. Now, the Jewish leaders were insistent on Jesus' death because of the evil of blasphemy. But for Pilate, this is a non-reason for a death sentence.
It must be against humanity. It must be something big, something against Rome, not something against God. So we are told Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Now, implied in this title, in this charge, is the crime of rebellion, the crime of insurrection, the crime of revolting against Rome. And this will bring about a death sentence. Now, how did Pilate come to this charge? Because he was tracking Jesus, he was observing Jesus, he was taking note of what he said and what he did? No. Jesus called him out on this. Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate's response was, "Am I a Jew? How do I know who you are and what you have done? Am I a Jew to be involved in your in-house politics and theology? I don't care. Your own nation and the chief priest has delivered you over to me. Your people have betrayed you. What have you done that makes them hate you more than they hate Rome? Strange, isn't it, that they would deliver you over, that they would want you dead? What are you hatching? What kind of king are you that your own do not want you?" Jesus answered him, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Clearly, Jesus' answer is that he's not a king in the sense of an earthly king, a worldly king, a national leader leading a rebellion. His kingdom is not over territory and property. His kingdom is over something much, much more. He's definitely a king. And Pilate got that. So Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king." Now it's no longer what others say. Now it is what you say. You've heard it. And if I'm a king, as you say I am, then you have to decide your allegiance. Either I'm Lord of all or not Lord at all. For this purpose I was born, that is, to be king. For this purpose I've come to this world, that is, to bear witness to the truth that I am the king, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. One day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that I am Lord. Do you believe in this? That was what Jesus was putting across to Pilate. Do you believe in the truth? In the truth that I came to bear witness? So Jesus said, "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." This was something similar to what he said in John chapter 8, verse 47. "Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." Friends, if you are interested in the truth, if you want to know the truth, if you want to seek the truth, if you want to find the truth, you need to come to the one who is true and who is the truth. Jesus is saying, truth is absolute. Truth is a person. Truth is not public opinion. Now, this was not lost on Pilate. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Pilate avoided truth. He sidestepped truth. He would not want to face the truth. He thought he could be loose over truth. He thought he could control what is true and can be the judge and can be the good guy and not come to any conclusion. as the Jews did, that Jesus is evil, that he lied. Having sidestepped the truth, Pilate went outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him." And if we read further on in John chapter 19, we will find that Pilate came to this conclusion two more times, to three times. Pilate judged Jesus to be not guilty. But yet, his judgment of Jesus was based on his understanding of what is true. What is true for him is relative. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there are only three kinds of conclusion that we can come when we come to Jesus. Firstly, the conclusion that was given by the Pharisees, for the Jews, by the high priest, the chief priest, that he's guilty, that he's evil, that he's not a good man, he's evil, and therefore need to be dealt with. Or the second conclusion that Pilate came to, that he is deluded, that he's mad, that he's a lunatic, and therefore can be tolerated and toyed with. But yet at the end of the day, he was expendable. But the third conclusion is that he is Lord. He is Lord of all. So dear friends, today even as we come and listen to this trial of Jesus in the Gospel of John, where do you stand? How would you judge Jesus today? A liar? A lunatic? Or Lord? And one thing you must not do, is to just to say that he's a good person. Friends, where do you stand today? How would you be judged tomorrow? On the side of truth or on the side of falsehood? On the side of justice or on the side of injustice? If your truth is relative truth, all you hear is your own voice. If your truth is absolute truth, you will hear his voice. Let us keep a moment of silence even as we meditate on what Jesus went through in his trial before Caiaphas, before Pilate. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we confess with shame that we have often betrayed you and denied you in thought, in word, and in deed. Lord Jesus, who stood trial before Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate, you are the judge of all men. Forgive us our sins. Save us by your cross and precious blood. Amen.